story here. I'm going to give it to you today. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC, 800-222-5222, 800-222-5222 if you want to be on the program. And also my email, sam@samnation.com. I check it periodically through the show and will respond to you if there's something there. Now, the media, I am telling you this, and if I sound a bit shouty today, it's because I am angry. The media is so blinded by their loathing of Trump. They're willing to sacrifice lives to get rid of him. And if you think that this is hyperbole, let's rewind this whole conversation about what Trump said or didn't say to the Russians in the Oval Office the other day. This story, okay, is about a conversation that was private. I believe there were five or so participants in the Oval Office. They included Trump, included the Russian ambassador, the Russian foreign minister, and H.R. McMaster, right? The guy who's been all over this from the get-go. Now, McMaster, and I'll play for you what he said. You heard what he said yesterday. He reiterated the same thing today. But that's not the story. The story is that right now, today, this minute, at 7:05, whatever we are here in the evening, and for most of this afternoon, we know what was said in the Oval Office. We know, and actually, we know a bit more than what was said in the Oval Office. We know the who, what, where, and why. The issue, the topic that was discussed there, among others, included the fight against ISIS. Specifically, our intel having to do with ISIS's newfound ability to miniaturize explosive devices and place them into laptops. Now, we've been talking about that for some days. But apparently, the accusation is that Trump, being the blithering idiot that he is, blabbed out to the Russians enough information to tip them off to the fact that it was an Israeli agent, placed deep within the bowels of ISIS, working undercover. Fact, perhaps, I read somewhere, planted directly inside of the factory that is making these laptop bombs. And thus, not only endangering his life and the lives of his network around him, but also creating an enormous problem for our intel partner, Israel. Okay, are you following me? Now, the fact that we are talking about it, did the Russians leak this information? Are they the ones that connected the dots for the New York Times, for ABC News, for the Washington Post? Or are these sources within our government that are giving this information to the media, and the media, complicit with them, is printing it because they want to destroy Trump? Okay, I get it. You hate Trump. You think he's a buffoon. You think he's a vulgarian. You think that he's a child. Okay, fine. We get it. I read your newspapers, and I do it holding my nose, but I do it nonetheless because it's the service I provide you here on this program. I gotta stay informed. But do you see the problem? You've got to, in their quest to create Trump the evil villain, and in my view, this is a creation, it's a fiction. You need to oversimplify dumb things down and make it a story that the average dumb American will understand. I mean, that's the God's honest truth, okay? So in creating a stupid, digestible, you know, bare-bones story, you have to create other characters in the drama. And one of those characters is Russia. And I speak to you as a victim. I promise you this. As a victim of Russian and Soviet aggression. I am no friend of the Soviet Union and of Russia. I know they're manipulative sons of you-know-what. So you've got to trust me. When I look at everything that the Russians do with the critical eye, I get it. I do not think that the Russians are our friends. I do not think that they can be considered allies. There are polemic forces here. We are at opposite ends of, and it is a fight for influence in critical regions of the world. In some respects, not a lot has changed. Just because it's the Russian Federation today doesn't mean that the old Soviet system is still in place, or at least the old Soviet thinking. Now, I have to put all that down there to tell you that the common ground that we have with Russia is the fight against Islamic terror, period. Russia has a contentious history with Islam going back decades. They're the first people to get their, you-know-what's handed to them in Afghanistan. They have portions of their country, Chechnya, for example, right, that are Muslim, predominantly Muslim, and they have Islamic terrorists that have targeted the subway in Moscow, that have taken over stadiums, movie theaters, and the such. This is one area where we and the Russians are somewhat on the same page. Now, do you remember that Russian airliner, 200-plus people on board, blew up, dropped out of the sky, and do you remember what it was that investigators believed was the cause of that crash? It was a bomb hidden in a soda can. So listen to me. When it comes to... So let's say Trump. I will accept the premise of the story. I will stipulate to it, but only for the purpose of the argument. I don't believe anything anymore out of these papers. These reporters are so loathsome. I don't take stock in anything that they say. But for the purposes of this argument, let's say that Trump tipped the Russians to the fact that there is an Israeli spy in a bomb factory where ISIS is pioneering some new technique of how to miniaturize bombs and place them in laptops. Now, tell me something. What in God's name would Russia's motivation for outing that source be? Will you tell me that? All I'm giving this is my own logic, my own brain, my own knowledge of history, my deep mistrust of anything Russian. I wouldn't touch borscht with a 10-foot pole. I'm just saying, it might get on my tie or my shirt, whatever. Dangerous stuff. Anyone who's ever eaten it. I'm applying regular, normal filters to this, and it doesn't pass the smell test. Instead, this story is not about, Trump, can you believe it? Trump just blew it. He gave everything away told the Russians, outed an Israeli agent. Do you think for a minute, now put yourself in the mind of President Putin. Your entire power and credibility as a total and absolute dictator of your country depends on keeping your people safe. I'm going to tell you that right now. The whole contract between dictator and the people, there's a contract there, believe it or not. The dictator must provide for his people. If he doesn't provide for his people and take care of them, there's a contract there that's broken. And that's where dictators get deposed. Putin must appear strong. When Russian airliners drop from the sky and get blown up by some, you know, half-a-money-money terrorist somewhere in the, you know, sand dunes of the deserts, that's not good for Putin. So you must believe me when I tell you that Putin is not somebody who's going to take this intel and out the spy. Oh, no. We're going to leave that to the New York Times. And it took them less than 24 hours to do so with full complicit partnership with, honestly, traitors within our government. This, my friends, is outrageous. It is outrageous. It is unacceptable. It is un-American. It's treasonous. And I don't throw words around lightly. But instead, the conversation here is about Trump, is about what a buffoon and a stupid fool Trump is, and all the horrible things that Trump has done. And now, and you know what? It's almost, I almost look at this and think this is almost a plot, right? Okay, what better story tomorrow in the newspapers? What better thing for the left-wing Trump-hating media than to have photographs, better yet video, right, on the web all over, of the Israeli spy getting executed in some city square in Mosul? See what Trump did? And the ignorance of people out there who themselves are so blinded by their loathing of Trump that they would go along with it. I don't think that this is a Republican-Democrat issue. I don't think that this is a right-left issue. I don't think that this is a Trump-anti-Trump issue. I think that this is something outside of the realm of decency and of American patriotism. Plain and simple. And I understand, believe me, I get it. I know how ratings work. I know that you've got to sell newspapers. I get all of that. But between the people in the government that are leaking the stuff to for their own selfish ends, right? And these are, by the way, I mean, Trump could get out. He could stand in front of, he could call a press conference and read our deepest, darkest secrets. Literally, put it up on a teleprompter or put it on a yellow pad and just read from it. And the way the code is written, he wouldn't be guilty of anything. But people within the government, these assistants to assistants and these, you know, these hack deep state people that are there undermining Trump, these people have no legal authority to disclose this information. The real crime here is, and I don't know, this information is out, that I am able to relay to you this story today and tell you what happened and tell you what country participated and who the spy is and all this stuff. That's the real crime. And it fits in part of the, you know, and it fits in the same pattern. Say it this way. It fits in the same pattern of things that you see and dismiss every day around you. I read to you from my Facebook the other day, didn't I? That crazy, nice, kind girl saying vile and horrible things. If you supported Trump, she wrote, I don't hate you. But if you were on life support, I would unplug you so that I could charge my phone. You've seen things like that. And my point is on Facebook, it's all cute and funny and ha ha ha. But in real life, where lives matter, this hatred of Trump is so blinding people that it is causing enormous and will continue to cause enormous collateral damage to a lot of innocent people. And I personally think that that is absolutely unacceptable. It's not a right-left issue. It's not a Republican-Democrat issue. I don't care if you think Trump is the biggest idiot that ever walked into the Oval Office. What happened today should trouble you. You should find this unacceptable. When we come back, I'll take you through how this happened. I'll tell you what McMaster said and take you through all that. And we'll be back right after this.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky back behind the Sam Nation microphone. So the media, right, says Trump endangered our intel partner. When it's the media that outed him, and by him, I mean Israel. This is apparently the story now is, right, we know that that Israel had a spy, a deep cover spy inside, or has still, presumably, a deep cover spy inside the factory that is converting laptops into bombs designed to take down airliners. And the fact that we know this is a terrible, terrible breach of all national security protocols. And people leaking this out of the White House, conspiring with the media to let this out to embarrass Trump. And that's apparently acceptable in this day. Now, I'll tell you how today started. To understand where we are right now, take you back to how it all began, which is with Donald Trump tweeting. Now, if you remember yesterday, H.R. McMaster, Trump's national security advisor, got up, gave a quick press conference and categorically denied that anything untoward had happened in the meeting. To me, it sounds very credible. McMaster, somebody who has a tremendous reputation on both sides of the aisle. He's an inside Washington guy. He's not a Trump loyalist. OK, he's not a Trump shill. This is somebody who came in after the fact. He's not like Flynn. He's not an ideologue. He's somebody that is a decorated Army veteran. He's still active duty, isn't he? I think he's still active duty. So, but anyway, he's a decorated serviceman. And the deal is, he gets up there and he says, "No, I was there. I was in the meeting. Nothing untoward happened. End of story." So then Trump gets up and tweets, "As president, I wanted to share with Russia at an openly scheduled White House meeting, which I have the right to do, facts pertaining to terrorism." Right? And and of course, you know what? Trump should have let this alone. Should just let it alone. Let McMaster speak for him, done and over. But it's not in Trump's character. He can't do it. Just can't help himself. He's got itchy fingers on the keyboard of his Twitter device, whatever it is he's using. So that gets out. And now, of course, the media is in a full-blown tizzy because they think, McMaster is shilling up there for Trump. He was totally lying. We got his goose. And so in the White House press briefing today, McMaster comes out and the media press corps, they're just ready to eat him alive. And one reporter starts shouting at him, "Hey, now you said the Washington Post story is false," which is what he said the day before. "Do you stick by that assertion? Do you think every element of that story is false? And do you have anything to correct it in terms of what you said at the podium yesterday?" Now, what he wants him to say is he's trying to catch him and contradict him with Trump's tweet. And he's expecting him to start to backpedal. And here is what McMaster said.
"No, I stand by my statement that I made yesterday. And what I'm saying is really the premise of that article is false, that in any way the president had a conversation that was inappropriate or that resulted in any kind of lapse in national security. And so I think the real issue, and I think what I'd like to see really debated more, is that our national security has been put at risk by those violating confidentiality and those releasing information to the press that could be used, connected with other information available to make American citizens and others more vulnerable.
Exactly. The bigger story here is that the media released in more damaging information than the Russians ever would have. And as I told you before, Russia on this front in the fight against terrorism, they are as big of victims of ISIS as we are, if not more so, because ISIS was successful in downing a Russian airliner. Russian motivation on this front is clear. They do not want to see ISIS harm their citizens, period. That is a critical focal point of any Putin agenda. Ridiculous. All right, we've got the news. Up next with John Wolfe. I'll be back right after that.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
Live from Orange County, it's Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC, talking about today's latest news. The all-out assault on the Trumpster over his supposed, alleged revelations to the Russian ambassador and Russian foreign minister of intel and information obtained through our partners. Now, I want two things here. I think perhaps Trump should have not fired Comey. That is starting to be very clear to me. Why? I'll tell you. Do you remember that press conference in July? Where Comey lays out, just hundreds of instances of Secretary Hillary Clinton emailing non-securely classified and top secret information from her laptop to herself to her phone. You remember this story. Multiple devices, multiple occasions. You remember why he declined to prosecute? That's right. The intent standard. That's what Comey told us. She didn't intend to do any of it. There was no sign of her intending to do it. So I have a question for you. You know the David Brooks piece, the New York Times? Everybody's talking about it. Even Chris Cuomo? Chris Cuomo on CNN. Here's what he said. I would play this clip here, this exchange with David Brooks, Jeffrey Lord on David Brooks' piece in the New York Times. Listen to this, and I'll tell you how this all ties into the Comey deal.
All right, this latest self-imposed and perhaps most egregious error by the president is sparking all kinds of questions about competence. Was his inability to protect highly classified information when with Russian diplomats a sign that he's not up to the job? There is a New York Times op-ed you should read for yourself from David Brooks. The headline is this: When the World is Led by a Child. It says, quote, from all we know so far, Trump didn't do it, we're talking about the classified information, because he is a Russian agent or for any malevolent intent. He did it because he is sloppy, because he lacks impulse control. And above all, because he is a 7-year-old boy desperate for the approval of those he admires.
Mr. Cuomo and Mr. Brooks, you both are morons. You're also shills for your own ideological movement. I'm very transparent about my beliefs. This is an opinion show. All right, I get it. And I understand that Mr. Brooks is writing an op-ed, but it's being cited by CNN as the gospel truth. Trump is a child. And he's not a Russian agent. He didn't do it on purpose. He didn't intend to sink our intel partners. But he did because he's a child. He's a buffoon. He's an idiot. Da-da-da-da-da. You know who else was sloppy? Mr. Brooks? You think that maybe Hillary and Huma sending around highly classified information on their Hotmail, not even the Hotmail account, set up on these home servers without virtually any protection, sending it to the, you know, sex predator, Wiener. You think that maybe that was sloppy? That those were the actions of what is it here? People who lack impulse control? You know, this is where you folks over in CNN and Washington Post and New York Times, you lose me. You lose me. I'm gone. You've got to report on both people. And this, by the way, doesn't reach anywhere near some of the instances that occurred during the Obama administration. I'll give you a few of them when we come back. Sam Rzhovsky, back right after this.
Talk radio.
790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky here. The other day, I didn't share this with you at the time, but my wife was rear-ended. She's traveling with the kids. Not a lot of harm, though. She was in her urban assault vehicle. The other car was pretty badly damaged, but we were fine. But had something happened, I don't know, would she have called me first or Sweet James? I don't know. It depends if she listens to me. But if you listen to me, you know who to call first. In the event of an accident, an injury, if you need help, which you always do, if you're hurt, you've got to call the right person. Knowing who to call is the critical, important thing, right? Sweet James Bergner is the lawyer that we trust. Free consultations given 24/7. Him and his team will help you get through the case, will give you good advice, give you the good guidance that you need, and make sure that you're protected. Whatever you do, don't talk to the other side. Don't talk to the insurance adjuster. Doesn't matter how nice they are to you. Trust me, all they want to do is to get information from you that will hurt you and your case. Call James, 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. Or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right. Following the selective outrage in the media here on Sam Nation, you remember, maybe you don't, because nobody's referencing it now. I mean, wouldn't the right thing be if you're looking at Trump and you're saying, whoops, well, I guess Trump accidentally blabbed out some stuff, sensitive information, in a closed-door meeting? Let's look back and see if there are any other examples of this happening. And nobody's really doing that. You're not seeing that in the New York Times. You're not seeing that in the Washington Post. But it's ironic because the Post itself wrote two headlines. One in May of 2015 and the other one, May of 2014 and the other one in June of 2016. The first was, White House mistakenly identifies CIA chief in Afghanistan. The Obama administration puts the name of the CIA chief on the press release. They expose him. And of course, naturally, you know, endanger his life. I don't know. Now, if Trump had accidentally outed a CIA chief in Afghanistan, or anywhere in a press release, do you know how they would literally tar and feather him? The orange man would be tarred and feathered on the spot. Do you think Obama was tarred and feathered? You think he got any of this kind of treatment that Trump is getting today? Mind you, what Trump did, closed door meeting, and we have people telling us, credible people, McMaster, telling us, no, it wasn't like this. It didn't go down this way. You're mistaken. And the real story here is you in the media citing these unnamed, off-the-record sources who are betraying our allies and disseminating classified top-secret intel to the media. Oh, the other headline had to do with the U.S. sharing intelligence with Russia on Syria. So I guess we're perfectly fine giving Russia intel on Syria. By the way, that was in 2016 when our interests on Syria are, well, should be diametrically opposed. I thought that Obama was drawing some kind of red line, you know, hey, Bashad, you little jerk, stay on that side of the line or else I'm going to come and get you. Whatever that threat was. No, politically. Look, this is political. This is political. Here, the intel had to do with a common threat. There, the intel had to do in a, we were sharing intel at a time when we were locked in a battle with Russia and we had totally different objectives. Russia wanted Bashar Assad to stay. He's their guy. He's their person on the ground. He is their ally and Russia's intent on increasing its influence in that region. And our objectives were, as best as I could tell, deciphering what the Obama people were blabbing about, were completely diametrically opposite. Explain it to me. I really want to know. All right. Back after this.
Talk Radio 790.
AABC.
So now I have to look at this story. I gotta pull back from it and understand what all the different stakeholders are doing and why they're doing it. I think for most of the reporters out there, for most of the media, when you're talking about the foot soldiers of this enormous effort to destabilize Trump, to drive him crazy with this sieve of a White House where there's leaking from every possible place and reporters scurrying around with their, you know, buckets and scooping up whatever dirt they can get. By the way, I was thinking about this today, and I run a competitive business. So I'm thinking to myself, what state of mind would I be if, let's say, just 10 of my closest competitors had people on the inside in the inner workings of my business and were on a daily basis, you know, minute by minute, practically telling my 10 competitors what business decisions I was making, what advertising buys I was making, who I was hiring, who I was firing, what forecasts. Do you know what? I would go crazy. I would probably fire every single person at the company and start over. And Robbie's laughing over there. He's getting worried. He's getting worried. No, Robbie, you're good. I've known Robbie since high school, so I think I can trust him. True story. Think about that for a minute. That is where the media wants to get Trump. They want him to go insane because they want him to just supernova, blow up, and erupt. But some people that are playing this game with Trump are being far more, what's the word, strategic? You know, I keep talking about the Washington Post, and they are by far the standard bearers of vitriolic Trump hate out there right now in the so-called establishment serious media. I came across, you know who owns them, right? Jeff Bezos of Amazon, the guy who started Amazon, one of the richest men in the world. January 12th, this is before the inauguration, but after Trump is elected president, January 12th of this year, Bezos dropped $23 million and bought two of the largest townhomes, mansions, really, in Washington, D.C. Now, there's something you need to know about Washington. There's nothing economic to do in Washington. It gets hot in the summer, so it's kind of a crappy place to be. And everybody there is stuck up as hell. The reason that a multi-billionaire buys two large mansions and joining them, by the way, to create some sort of a 27,000 square foot house is so that he can entertain and influence policymakers, lawmakers in the government. And the reason he did it now and not 5 years ago with Obama is he knows, you know, that little tiff he got into, that antitrust tiff with Trump. I'll talk more about it later in the week. But believe you me, Bezos has it out for Trump. He knows he has to protect his interests, which is why he planted an Amazon embassy in the heart of Washington, D.C. to plot his terrorism against Trump. And he's succeeding. Hell, he's got a whole newspaper behind him. And for all you libs, by the way, you like big government, oh, you have corporations stealing everything. And then you're protesting Trump based on news stories you read in Washington Post. You're dumb as you know what. God, talk to you tomorrow.
Can't stop addicted to the shindig.
Talk radio. 790.
KABC.